Jesus, we thank you for being with us this morning. May we sense your nearness, the nearness of our Father, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We just invite and just welcome you here into our hearts and minds and captivate us, Lord, by your love this morning. May we all know that we've been with you today. And maybe even seen dimensions of you that we haven't seen before. Open our eyes and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this wonderful family of God, family of people. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
The streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there song of victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ever, knew ever, and all my love. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
One more time.
Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming. Victory beneath the cleansing flood. Yeah.
Woo! Isn't that good? I like that. He sought me. You know, he follows you. He chases after us. I was reading that. I'll be talking about that a little bit, but His goodness pursues us and hunts us down. You know, don't kid yourself. He's chasing after your kids. His love is hunting them down. How about that? Pursuing them. He pursued you and caught up with you, didn't he? I like that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're going to jump to the goodness of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father. Oh, goodness, oh God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. And every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Matthew, could you pull up a song called Holy Forever? Amen. He is so good. It's so good. He is reliable. He's trustworthy. He's unchanging, you know. That's his nature, to be good. He's not a God that he should, not a man that he should lie. He's not a God that he should change, you know. I praise his name for that reliability, you know. He's predictable and unchanging. The good, it's called Holy Forever. We give you praise, Lord, and thanks. Ready?
1,000 generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. For us, and all who will believe will sing the song to the Lamb, to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name, it stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, Holy, all creation cries, Holy, you are lifted high. Now if you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, will you sing the song forever to the Lamb? And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear his name, will you sing the song forever to the Lamb? will sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, holy, all creation rise. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be. Holy, holy forever.
Your name, it's the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. Jesus, your name, it's the highest. Your name, it's the greatest. Your name stands above positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation rise. Holy, you are left high. Holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings. Holy, always be. Holy, holy forever. You will always be. Worship His Majesty, Your Majesty, unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, Kingdom, authority, from His throne unto His own, His anthem ring. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. So exalt, so exalt, lift up on high the mighty name of Jesus. Magnify.
Christ who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
He is worthy. He is worthy. Yes, Jesus. Woo. A song called My King is Known by Love. It's a really cool song. Isn't that good to just exalt his name?
In royal thrones, they rule from thrones, waging war, they overthrow the weak, and call it victory. My King is known by mercy, and my King is known by grace, for the hope in his name and a power that saves. My King is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave. Oh, and all that he does. My King is known by love.
Amen.
I can almost see him even now, rejected with thorns upon his brow. What kind of king will leave his throne and make my sin and shame his own? Yet he gave his life for me. He gave his life for me. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My King is known by the cross. And my King is known by an empty grave. Oh, and all that he does. My King is known by a love that welcomes everyone. His daughters and his sons, no one is ever turned away. Aren't you glad? My King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves.
Wow. Oh, It's good. He's good. I like that kind of king, you know. When I sing that, I often think of Mr. Putin over there trying to destroy the Ukraine, you know, and this might and grabbing for and power grabs, you know. It's good to know that our King is known by love and mercy and grace. Yes, the greatest leader. Thank you, Father. Good, good Father. Let's sing that one together.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. Yo, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. Oh, it's love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Yes, it's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father.
You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. What I want to talk to you today, when I was
young believer, I was in an environment of, you might say, hyper-shepherdism, kind of in the 80s. That thing went through the church. And I'm just going to share my personal testimony. I'm not going to be long today. But I felt after a while that I was just being beat up and battered. And I was sharing this yesterday at breakfast. And a lot of times I was like, I love you, Father, but don't hit me. That's kind of sad, isn't it, really? But as a battered child, you know, I didn't know whether God... I think initially had a good relationship with God, but it kind of turned legalistic. And that was my journey. But I have found that my Father is reliable and faithful and good and always good. It's more than just a cliche that we say he's good all the time. He really, really is. Goodness is his nature. He doesn't wake up on the wrong side of heaven, you know. Thank God. He's not fickle. That word in James, it says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. You pull that one up, Matthew, if you can find it. It's James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no variation. And that word was fickleness. I thought, well, that's interesting. Or shadow of turning. He's reliable. He's consistent. He's stable, right? And as we see him as stable, guess what happens to our lives? We become more stable too. Not worried that he's going to punish or be angry or upset with you or disappointed with you. That's a bunch of lies. He's actually pleasing with you. He's pleasing. He's pleased with you. He's proud of you. We need our affirmation from our Father. You need affirmation from your Father. I was at a church up in McKinleyville a couple weeks ago and spoke, and a fellow named Lou, he's an older man that's a veteran, and I hadn't been there for a while, and he said at the end of the service, he just put his hand on my shoulder, he looked in my eyes, and he said, you know, Mike, I see growth in you. There's been a change. And it was this affirmation from a father. And he didn't realize how much it meant to me. I did get an opportunity to tell him later. But that's the good thing. Is there another go to the next frame, Matthew. Fickle means likely to change one's opinion or feelings suddenly and without a good reason. Interesting, right? This is just the dictionary's version definition. Fickleness can also refer to the quality of being likely to change suddenly and without warning, unpredictable and unreliable. That was the kind of God I started to relate to. And it was sad. Religion can do that. You know, can interfere with your relationship. And so I think the thing I just wanted to encourage you on is he's trustworthy. You really can trust him. You can rest in his love. He's good with you. He really is. And I think sometimes I've heard stuff, well, you're just going to suffer for your own good. You know, it's a test. You know, see how you're going to do. I don't think God's like that at all. God doesn't bring hardship. God doesn't bring affliction on his children. He'll certainly help us through it, but it's not his. He doesn't cause those things. He's the good guy. He's the one that brings good gifts to his children, right? He doesn't make your kids sick and all that junk. You know, it's all weird. Our concepts of God will change. 2 Corinthians 5, or 10, 4. You see that one, Matthew? Thank you. The weapons of our warfare, we all know this one, are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds. Those strongholds are opinions about God that aren't correct, that we've developed over the years from our religious beliefs and even false teachings or misunderstandings about God, our Father. Yes, reasonings, casting down arguments about God, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. our opinions of God can actually interfere with our experience of the real God. Your reasonings and arguments and opinions can actually create a barrier between you and your Father. Right? Those have to be cast down. That's it. And this is violent language. This is warfare language. And it has to do with your thoughts and imaginations. That's what they are. And so we can create a God of our own from what we've been through experience. So I think it's important that we experience Him, not just our imaginary God. You know, He wants us to know Him the way Jesus presented Him. Go all the way to the front, Matthew. We'll go through some of the Psalms, I think. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Yay! That's a promise. I love that. His goodness will follow you all the days of your life. He's a good God. And we need to be convinced of that. He's not angry. He's not up there with a whip on a black book that's going to check off how you're doing, right? I don't like that kind of a God that's requiring us to perform for Him. I hate that. I don't want to perform for God. He's a person to know. Yeah. I used to feel like a problem to fix. I wasn't a person. And, you know, here I am, Jeff. I'm way off. I'm supposed to be up here. Is this better? I forgot. I like to talk to you. I don't want to be way far away and like, you know, hello. And so I felt like a big disappointment to God. And do you know what that does to you psychologically and mentally when it's the one you want to please the most, you feel like it's the one you're disappointing the most? It's awful. It's tormenting. I went through those years in tears. And I've come out the other end realizing that I love my Father because He can't be trusted. I love Him because He's good. And I've fallen in love with Him. You know, and I am so glad that I've come full circle. And I've come through some of those religious knot holes out the other end and realized that He is good. He's always been good and He's never changed. That's His nature, to be good. Now let's take a look at the next. Is it Moses? Exodus 3? Look at this, 33. And Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And you're thinking, well, what's that mean? Here's what it is. Then he said, God said, "I will make all my," what? "My goodness pass before you." So God equates His glory with His goodness. Hallelujah. "And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. The Lord is rich in love, tender in mercy, ready to forgive, slow to anger." That's our Father. And Jesus wants to represent you to Him to you correctly. And leaven gets in that lump of dough and begins to just affect the whole belief system. And if you're not careful, you can be affected by that too. And I'm praying that God work all the religious leaven out of us until there's nothing left but goodness and mercy. And let's go on to the next one. Is this good? You like this? Amen. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures sometimes, once in a while, if he's in a good mood, well, you know, forevermore." All right. Pleasures forevermore. God wants to fulfill your desires and pleasures. legitimately, I was talking about this yesterday, that if we go about to reach for things on our own, to fulfill our own desires, we end up burned. We end up in pain. It's painful to do it your own way. But there's a way God wants to fulfill your needs that's legitimate and without. It says the blessing of the Lord, I've got that one up there somewhere. Blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. There's no condemnation to those blessings. There's no guilt involved. There's no shame involved. When you allow the Father to fulfill your desires, there's no shame or guilt or condemnation in it. Amen? It's great. It's the way he intended it to be. If you're doing anything that's bothering your conscience, stop doing it. Whatever is not of faith is sin. If you can't do it and your conscience approve of it, blessed is the man who is not condemned in the thing which he allows. If you're allowing something in your life that's bothering you inside, it's not worth breaking the intimacy and the fellowship of your Father for it. It's trash. Whatever, I don't know, you have to put it, fill in the blank there. But I know anything that's threatening your intimacy with your Father has to be removed. And when it is, intimacy is restored. It's like a friend of mine said, the reason God is hurt by what hurts you is because he sees his child hurting. So your pain hurts him in the sense that he's a high priest that sympathizes with your weakness. He has empathy for what you're going through. He doesn't want to see you in pain. He wants you at peace. He wants you blessed. He wants you fulfilled. He wants you complete and whole and entire, lacking nothing. Sure, we go through the hard times, but it's supposed to take you to a place. It's supposed to take you to a place of, like it says, you know, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you enter into trials of many kinds, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work. And what's it taking you to? You're not supposed to stay in that stuff. You're supposed to come into the, when are we ever going to get to the complete, entire, whole, lacking nothing part? I say it's now. You lack nothing in your Father. Everything that's in you is, he is complete within you. And he wants you to know that you are entire and you're whole and you lack nothing. The lie is in the lack. Everything you need for life and godliness has been given to you, according to the word, 2 Peter. I'm telling you what, it's true. You are one with him and he is one in you. When you walk out these doors, you can know that everything you can say and do is going to be just like Jesus. As he is in this world, so are you. Bible, as he is, so are we in this world. That'll preach. Is there more good stuff? I hope you're getting encouraged. Surely, I told you this earlier in more worship time. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow, run after, chase, hunt, and pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't kid yourself. Your children are being hunted, pursued, chased after. He is after your children. His love is reaching out to every human being. And this message of reconciliation, you're supposed to give. The fact that they have opportunity to be restored to divine favor with God. Reconciliation means restored to divine favor. Jesus will restore you to divine favor with your Father. Isn't that good news? Boy, I like this stuff. I get excited. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You see? That's the old covenant, man. David saw stuff in the spirit. Let's read on. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. So you trust him to do it his way. You just trust him. Next. Again, Jesus' words. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Yes? Always, always good. I got all kinds of verses here that prove that. Next. Fear not, little flock, for your Father's good pleasure. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He enjoys seeing his children enjoy the kingdom. That's his pleasure. It gives him pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, what is the kingdom? Next chapter, next verse. Oh, well, go to the next one. That one's good too. But it's this one here. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Those don't sound like negative things to me. We are to be experiencing the righteousness of God. That means you stand before your Father just as you should be. Jesus made you as you ought to be already. You don't have to do anything to become as you ought. Righteousness says you are. It's good. You are, all, and you can say that to yourself. I am already as I ought to be before you, Father. I am already as I should be. That's what righteousness means. Righteousness, peace, is completeness, wholeness, entirety in your emotions, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So those are the kingdom. That is the kingdom of God. Go back one now, Matt. I'm ready for the other one. Do you despise? That means to have an opinion that's mentally opposed to the goodness of God. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? You prove to someone how good God is, and they might just change their mind about him. Listen to this. I believe that people have rejected God and quit going to church because they rejected a version of God that isn't even real. They have rejecting a version of God that has been presented to them, and they don't want that God. And you know what? I'm an atheist when it comes to that God too. And I don't believe in him either. Amen? But I do believe in this good God, this good Father we've sung about. Amen. And we are obligated to present to the world a good, good Father. That's who he is. And they're loved by him. That's who they are. Amen. So, you know, don't have an opinion that's opposed to the goodness of God. Anything, what was I going to say? I want to tell you this too. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The word that I come across for devil or accuser is traducer. It's a word that few know. I just dug it up in my studies once. Traducer. I've shared this before. But what is it? It uncovers his agenda. It is a definition that means one who belittles the worth and the value of another. Anytime you allow belittling in yourself or the belittling of others, you have just entered into the devil's territory. And you're allowing him to influence your heart. You fight that belittling spirit, that put down, devaluing, yes, unworthy thing that's not from God, it's in the demonic realm. Okay? All right. That's good. I'm glad I'm at a place in my life where I'm at peace. How can I say it? I'm just walking in peace. I have peace with all my enemies. I don't have anybody that, well, I mean, there may be some that don't like me, but that's fine. I love them. I love what Ian said. Ian said it yesterday. Even if someone's mistreating you, you bless them. And see the change that comes upon you. That rejection that they have won't affect you because you're praying for them. And it just falls off. That was great, Ian. Really, really good truth. And I realized I've lived that. I've seen that. And oftentimes I was just a victim of their mistreatment instead of praying for them. I became the victim. Amen? Turn that thing around. Bless them. Jesus said it. Bless them and curse not. It's for your own good. So you can be free. You're not in an unforgiving cage in a prison. Unforgiveness is a prison. Jesus doesn't want you caged. He wants cage-free Christians. Free range. Hallelujah. Out of the cage. There was a story about it. An eagle in captivity. Beautiful. You know what I mean? These massive birds are amazing. There's a couple of them at the zoo. You know, bald eagles. They're amazing. They're big, you know. While one was ready to be released, you probably heard the story, but to the frustration of everyone that day, the cage was set down in the wilderness or wherever they had it, and I opened the door to the cage, and guess what? Wouldn't go. Too familiar with the cage. And yet all this potential to fly and do what it was called to do, soar, as we have done in the worship times. What was it that, was it Rhonda that said, we flew today, or I flew today, and I said, that's what your wings are for. Amen. Glory to God. I think we're going to stop this thing. I think we got it. I love all this. Look at this. He doesn't stop unfinished business. He's a God that finishes what he started. Be confident of this very thing. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it. Who's doing the performing? Him. He will accomplish it. He's accomplishing the good work he started in you. And the Lord wanted me to, I got a dream about this once, and I had a word for the people, and I don't often dream like that, but I took the pulpit and the mic from the pastor. I said, I have a word for you. God wants to finish everything inside of you that he has begun. Don't fear and be anxious over the unfinished things inside. Those are the very things he's going to complete. So get ready. You've been worried over the things that are undone. He's going to finish what he started. Is that good news? So let's close with a song. It's called Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. And we'll just finish that. I hope you receive. Thank you, Holy Spirit. His word will not return void. It will accomplish what I sent it out to do. So the seed has dropped into the hearts and minds of your people, Lord. And that will bear fruit. It will root and bear fruit. Fruit that's going to be effortless. Fruit that's going to come out of who they are. Holiness is going to be produced. Here's the thing. If you allow the Father to define who you are as holy, holiness will be the result in your life. If you allow sin to define you, you are going to have a tough time with sin. You're always going to struggle. Don't allow sin to define who you are. Allow your Father to give you that identity. Is that clear? That's important. Amen. Let's go to the piano. We're going to finish up here. Thanks, family. I love you, folks. The best is yet to come.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And flood this place and fill the atmosphere. your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. The altars are open for you. If you want to just come, your presence, Lord.